Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. I'm so happy to be back with you this week as we join together to dive into God's Word and to ask, what is God saying and what are we doing about it? And now we are a couple weeks into Lent. We're kind of in the swing and the rhythm of Lent. And I was talking to someone about this, how this year, especially because Advent was so short, you know, it's like you're 2 weeks into Advent and then you're already going to Christmas parties, you're already planning for Christmas, and it's like ends up being the shortest season of preparation. And so then sometimes Lent can just feel so long that it's like by the time you're in the swing of things, you still have a solid chunk of time to go, over a month to go. And that's actually one of the things that I really love about Lent is it gives us this time to actually get into a rhythm of life. And it takes us as human beings, or I know it takes me, a little bit of time to get into this new place of rhythm. And so what I've seen the Lord calling me to this Lent and actually desiring that I do is bringing me, yes, into new habits and into a new rhythm, but in a way that I have time to get into that rhythm and kind of begin to live that new way of life in a sense. And then it's not just about living that new rhythm, but there's enough time in Lent to live that. And then to also allow the Lord to go deeper under the layers of my heart as I'm doing this new rhythm. It's almost like you come out of an old rhythm of life, you get settled into the new habits, into the practices that you're doing in Lent, and then the Lord's like, okay, you're settled in this. And so now what ways has your heart kind of settled? And how do I go deeper underneath the surface of the practices you're doing to actually begin to transform you, to actually do the surgery that needs to be done, to actually strip you in the ways that need to be stripped, to actually prune you in the ways that need to be pruned? And so far, that's really what I'm focusing on and experiencing, is not just getting into a rhythm of the habits and making sure that I do them every day and checking off the box and all those different things, whether it was something I gave up or something I added into my life as a new rhythm of prayer or something. It's important to do those things and to stay committed to them, but to go deeper beyond the action and with everything I do, allow Christ into the motives of my heart. Allow Christ into those places where he wants to touch on different wounds, where he wants to strip things, where he wants to do different things and move in my heart in a deeper and deeper way. And that the length of Lent is really beautiful because it really allows the Lord to work in those layers. It allows the Lord to come in at different times, at different places, at different layers in our hearts to be able to transform us in different ways, which is really beautiful. So now that we're kind of in the rhythm of Lent, I want to go back to the Gospel of Luke. If you joined us at all in the last couple of months, I've mentioned that I was taking time in each of the Gospels, but I was going to start with the Gospel that I had read the least, and I discovered that that was the Gospel of Luke. And so I began in Luke chapter 1 a bit ago, and over a long period of time, I've really only made it to Luke chapter 14 because I'm reading paragraph by paragraph. And you'll know that this is characteristic of Burning Hearts, that we make it very slowly through a handful of verses. But I've been going paragraph by paragraph really through the public ministry of Jesus. And you see in Luke chapter 1 obviously begins with the Annunciation, and then with Jesus' birth and his infancy narratives. And then it goes very quickly into his public life and his public ministry. And a couple months ago, maybe it was a month ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, but we did a handful of episodes on some chapters from Luke and on Jesus' anointing for his ministry. How he comes out of the desert and he's anointed by the Spirit after he comes out of the desert, and he begins healing and teaching and preaching and doing all these things, and multitudes are following him. And so that continues on, friends, in the rest of the Gospel of Luke. And so what I want to take today is a few passages from Luke chapter 14 and really just break them down and see what the Lord might be speaking to our hearts, particularly in this Lenten season, because I found these verses as I was reading them and chewing on them to be extremely challenging. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to read God's word and we'll see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. So if you'll join me, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we give you this time together. No matter where we are, if this is preceding our prayer time, if we're listening in the car, no matter what we're doing, Lord, that you would pour into us right now, that you would speak to us, that you would open the ears and the eyes of our hearts to see you and to follow you. That this word would land in our hearts and not only convict us, but would convict us enough to actually continue to be transformed in the power of the Spirit. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what we're going to read today is a section beginning in Luke 14, 25. But what you see in these chapters leading up, right, because we want context, is Jesus, he's healing, he's preaching, he's teaching, and the multitudes are following him. And he's praying. And Jesus kind of does rinse and repeat with this. He does this over and over and over again. Every single chapter of the Gospels is these multitudes are following him. He takes care of every need of the crowds. He goes off alone and prays with his Father. He comes back and he does it again. And in the midst of all this, Jesus, he's both challenging the Pharisees and he's teaching those who are following him about what does it mean to follow me. And friends, I've been so convicted. And this sounds crazy, but we're just so far from this so often in our actual discipleship. I've been so convicted about reading the actual words of Jesus and saying, what does he say about what it means to follow him? And so often our modern conception of discipleship is kind of a man-made conglomerate about what we want, a little bit sprinkled in about what Jesus said, but mostly a self and a human defined version of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And over again in Luke and in the Gospels, Jesus is breaking this down. And so we see in Luke 14, he begins to tell these parables. And right before the section we're about to read, he tells this parable about a landowner, a house owner who's saying, I'm throwing a big banquet. I'm throwing a big banquet and I'm inviting all of these people and all the people that he invites to the banquet. When the banquet time comes, they make excuses about why they can't come to the banquet. One says, oh, I need to get married. I can't come. One says, I need to do this. I need to do that. And they're saying all of these reasons why they can't come to the banquet that they were invited to. And the last line before what we're going to read says this, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. And so Jesus, he's speaking with this intensity. He's speaking with this authority saying, actually, not everybody will see the kingdom of God. Not everybody, he'll say in the other way, in other ways, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will receive the kingdom of God, will enter into the kingdom of God. And so we're beginning to see already the standards that Jesus places on discipleship. So let's go ahead and read this and we'll just briefly dive in today and go in tomorrow. Verse 25. Now great multitudes accompanied him and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. This is probably one of the most, I mean, there's many challenging words of Jesus. This is one that we kind of often glaze over. We hear it and we're like, that seems weird, Jesus. I don't really know how to engage with that. And one of the things as we begin to read the actual things that Jesus says is first and foremost, we're surprised by how much he talks about eternal consequences, how much he talks about entering the kingdom of heaven or not entering the kingdom of heaven. And then this is another one of those passages that's so shocking. And it's interesting because you think, oh, Jesus maybe said this to the people that were really intense and maybe only the people that he was going to make priests. Or maybe he said this to Peter, like, Peter, you're going to be the Pope, so you got to give up everything for me. We kind of envision it like this kind of message is reserved for the most intense people. But I want to look right at verse 25. Now, great multitudes accompanied him. We hear this over and over and over again. The crowds were following him. Great multitudes were following him. Thousands of people were following him. And the great multitudes are the ones that he turns to. And he turns to the large group and he says, hey, everybody who's following me, everybody who wants to be healed by me, everybody who's receiving my message, everybody who's trailing behind me, this is what it means to be my disciple. And these are the things that disqualify you from being my disciple. And this is a modern trap that we fall into. And honestly, I'm going to save kind of the intensity of hating father, mother, sister, brother for tomorrow when we have more time to dive into it. But I want to just acknowledge this modern trap, this trap to say that the really intense things that Jesus said, he only said them around the Last Supper table. The offering of what it meant to give up their whole lives, like saying, drop your nets and follow me. He only said that to the disciples. He said that to the people that were going to be priests, the people that were going to be everything. He only said that to people who work in Catholic radio, or he only said that to, you know, the Father Mike Schmitz because he has to be really intense for God, or these Benedictine monks. And we can disqualify ourselves. And then we begin to live in a watered-down discipleship, and then we begin to offer, as a church, a watered-down discipleship to other people. Saying, yeah, Jesus said this, but it's really tough. It's really hard to handle. Those words from Jesus were really intense, so let's just offer a little bit. Let's try to win people over. You know, let's use a little woo, a little winning others over. And say, like, hey, this is going to be so great, so fun. By the way, you're going to have to give up everything. But it's going to help you so much. It's going to be so amazing. This is a modern presentation. That's what we do. Because we're afraid to just tell people what this is. And Jesus, he's saying to people who were fans of him. To people who just wanted a touch. There were people in those multitudes that wanted to catch a glimpse of this man that they had heard about. Of what is he doing? Oh, he's kind of like a rock star. Let's follow him around. There were some people there probably that weren't that serious of followers. And they wanted a taste. They wanted to be a part of the crowd. But maybe this message wouldn't be received so kindly. And I think here's a point too of like, friends, one-on-one discipleship is super important. It's super important to establish relationship, all this kind of stuff. But Jesus says this to a crowd. Peter preaches to a crowd. And so it's the both and. And so sometimes I think in maybe bigger scenarios or crowds, we back off of saying the truth of what Jesus wants us to say because we're not 100% sure where every single person is at in their heart and how they will receive it. But this conviction of Jesus said to the multitudes, this is the cost. This is what it means to be my disciple. And there's some people that won't pay this cost, and therefore they cannot be my disciple. He said this to the multitudes that were following him. He did not water down the path of discipleship for anybody, and neither should we. Join me again tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.